number 40, Psalm chapter number 40. And after the men's meeting tonight, Brother Ernie said if a couple guys could give him a hand, he wouldn't mind trying to get the sound system wrapped up and put away, what needs to be put away before Bible school. And I think we need to get the pew flipped over if we got some able bodies. We can get it out of the way so when they put the backdrop and everything up, it's out of the way. Might go ahead and move the pulpit and try to get some things ready so they can start doing whatever they want to do in Bible school whenever they want to do it. I don't know if they'll get to it before Wednesday, but I don't know what help I'll have here Wednesday. So I see some strong bodies here tonight. So if we can do something, I'd like to get it done. Amen. So if you could help us after the men's meeting, we greatly appreciate it. In Psalm chapter number 40, very familiar, you hear me quote this passage of scripture quite often. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Our Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house again, for these that come out. We know the weather was nasty, Lord, as we were heading out, and it was even hard to see the drive in some places. But God, thankful for these faithful ones that have come out tonight. And God, we just pray that your word will strengthen our hearts and help us tonight, God, to be encouraged in you. And Lord, help us to glorify you in all that we do tonight. That's our desire, our hope, and our prayer. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. The psalmist says his life, since God has brought him from the place where he brought him from and has set him on that rock and has established him, his life will be a testimony unto others. And others can see what God has done and would have a desire to have God do that in their lives as well. I wonder how many of us tonight live our lives in a way that others look at us and want to have what we have. They want to know what we know. They realize what God has done in our life. And I tell you, when you see what God has done in some people's lives, it just makes you aware of his great power and his great love. And it just makes you aware that God loves us, everyone, and cares for us, everyone. And he goes to the great depths of his love just to prove unto us how much he loves us, because he sent his son to die for us. And it just seems that we could go through the great depths of our lives and in of our love, just to show his love toward us in the lives that we live. Amen. The psalmist said others will see this. Others will marvel at what God has done. And I tell you, it's a marvelous thing when a soul gets saved. Amen. It's a marvelous thing when you see somebody that was addicted and strung out, somebody that was in the very dregs of a society, brought from where they are, and God saves them. But it's a marvelous thing when we see somebody else that just marred up and struggling through the cares of life and through the sins of this world and aren't drugged down to the depths that some have gotten, and God gets a hold of their heart and does the work as well. It's just as glorious. Amen. It's just as marvelous, and it's just as blessed as can be. And the psalmist said, he brought me up out of the miry clay. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, and he set my feet upon a rock. Out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock. You know, God didn't bring us out of where he brought us from to have us to sink into another mess. Amen. He didn't bring us out of where he brought us from to go back into sin and to go back to where we were. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Romans, he said, since we have God's grace, and God's grace has abounded to us, and he saved us, and he's made provision for us, he said, shall we continue in sin? He says, God forbid. Amen. He didn't bring us up out of that horrible pit to keep on living the way that we was living. He didn't bring us up out of that horrible pit and establish us and set us in a place where we was going to sink back down in the mire that we had just come up out of. But the psalmist says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. I want to preach to you tonight for just a few moments about life on the rock. Amen. Life on the rock. When we live our life on the rock, our life is different than what it was before. Amen. When we live our life on the rock, it's different than what the world's living as they're sinking down in the mire of sin in this world. When we live on our life, live our life on the rock, we know some things that take place and some things transpire within us. And first, how we see over in Luke chapter number 6 and verses 46 to 49. And Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Amen. If you're on the rock, you need to be on the rock. Amen. If you're on the rock, you need to live on the rock. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth against the same stream, against which the same stream did beat vehemently, and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great." He sets us on a rock so that we can get established on a firm foundation. Amen? And I tell you what, there's no other foundation that a man can lay than Christ Jesus. Amen? There's no other one to start building our lives upon and using for a reference than that chief cornerstone that was laid, that has become a stone of stumbling to some because they find that he hinders their desire. He hinders what they want in this world. But if we use him as the chief cornerstone, if we use him as our benchmark, if we use him as our building point, praise God, he'll get us settled and established. And young people, you need to beat that into your head and into your mind and into your heart. Above all else, build your life, build your future, set your plans upon Christ Jesus, because he's the rock that you can build on. Amen. You want to be the best individual that you can be? Get started on a good firm foundation. His name is Jesus. Amen. You want to be the best mom? You want to be the best dad that you can be? Get yourself on a good foundation. Amen. And let him direct you. It doesn't mean that we didn't come from a horrible pit. It doesn't mean that we haven't been through the miry clay, but it means that he can establish us and he can get us on a foundation that helps us to be what we can be. Young people, I want you to look around at the old people in this church. Let me tell you what, there's a bunch of people in here that has some screwed up lives in their past. Amen. And I tell you what, they messed up very bad. You know why? Because they didn't get themselves established on a firm foundation. They didn't build their lives when they started out upon the rock, and they wish they could go back now and change the things that they did and start out upon the rock. Can I get an amen? Amen. We can testify, you know, we're not better than you. We just been there. Amen. We know what it is to make them foolish mistakes. And then in Exodus chapter 33, we find out something else about being on the rock. It's not only the rock of a firm foundation. It's the rock of spiritual stability that brings us close to God. Amen. Moses cried out to God in chapter 33 of Exodus in verse number 18. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me. I'm glad that there's a place by the Lord. I'm glad there's a place that we can get to. He said, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Amen. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take my hand away, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I'm glad when we get close to God and we're willing to stand on that rock whose name is Jesus. We're willing to let him take our lives that's mired down in sin, that's mired down in the cares of the world, that's mired down with the things that will kill us and drown us and smother us out eventually. He brings us up and he puts us on the rock, amen, and he helps us to get started on a good foundation. But praise God, if we'll stay on that rock and we'll stand on that rock where he places us, it gives us the ability to get close to him and to experience his glory and his blessing and his a mighty power as he's around us and he passes by us. It helps us. That's what you feel when the Spirit of God begins to stir your heart in a service. That's what you feel when you're by yourself and there's no one else around, and you get to thinking upon the Lord and you get to thinking about his goodness and his mercies and his glories, and he begins to stir your heart. That's what you feel. You get to see, you get to experience the glory of God. Everybody don't have to be around to do it. You can do it on your own, but you got to stay on that rock to stay close. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, if we'll stay on the rock, he'll visit with us. If we'll stay on that rock, he shows himself to us. If we stay on the rock, you know why so many people lose their joy and so many people think it's such a chore to come to the house of God? Because they don't stay on the rock. And they miss the glory of God. Amen? They miss the joy of being in a service where Jesus passes by. They miss the joy of just experiencing the Lord. I know the weather's bad. I got thinking, ain't going to be many there tonight. Don't take but a little bit of water to keep most Baptists away. And then I said, well, it gets too hot, it keeps them away. It gets too cold, it keeps them away. Amen? Too much sunshine, it keeps them away. It don't take a lot, but when you get on the rock, amen, and you know you're close, what did God say? He said, there's a place by me. Amen. But that place by him is on the rock. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like to see and I like to know and I like to experience the glory of God. Amen. I like it on the rock. The world says, well, why are you standing on that rock? Because that's where Jesus wants me to be. Why are you standing on that rock? Because that's where I get to experience the glory of God. Why are you standing on that rock? And why you want to be so hard-nosed? And we was talking about this in Sunday school class this morning. You know, everybody wants to criticize you for what you're doing. We got some that they hate everybody, and everybody's wrong except them in our Baptist faith. They look at everybody else and say, well, if you ain't like me, you're wrong. Well, I got news for you. I'm on the rock, and I'm all right. Amen. I'm on the rock, and my name's on the roll, amen, and that just suits me just fine. You got the other bunch over here that says, look at that bunch down there. They don't want you to do anything. They think everything's wrong. I know that I'm on the rock, amen, and I want to stay on the rock, and as long as I'm on the rock, I get to experience the blessings of God, and I don't have to worry about the criticisms of men. I don't have to worry about the criticisms on this side, amen, because my life isn't built up on being a Baptist. My life is built up on standing on the rock. Amen. And as long as I'm on the rock, I'm close enough to him. Amen. Where I get to experience the blessings that he has. If you turn over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. I'm glad that he put me on a rock where I could get refreshed. Amen. He put me on the rock because he knew there was going to be some times I was going to go through some dry spells, some times when I was going to have a thirst, some times when I was going to desire to be quenched and to be refreshed. And praise God, he made provision, just like he made for the children of Israel. They all passed through the sea. They all passed through the cloud. They all seen it, and they all got to experience it, but they didn't know who it was that was blessing them the way that they was. God told Moses, said, I'm going to stand here on the rock. And he said, you smite the rock, and the water will come out. And praise God, I'm glad that he was willing to stand on the rock one time that I might know a salvation. He was willing to stand on the rock and let it be smitten that I might know eternal life in Christ Jesus my Lord. But the next time he told him just to speak to the rock. Amen. I'm glad that first I came to the rock that had been smitten. Amen. And I found Jesus, my Savior. I found Jesus, the rose of Sharon. I found Jesus, the Lamb of God. I found Jesus, my joy and my happiness in that rock. But I found Jesus, my Savior, most of all that day. And after that time, any time I've needed something to drink, all I just had to do was go speak to the rock. Amen. Amen. And the rock would refresh me. Amen. Jesus told that woman at the well, he said, you drink out of this water, you're going to thirst again. He said, but I got water that I can give you. That'll be a well of living water springing up in your soul, and you will never thirst again. Amen. You know how you get that water? You get it on the rock. Amen. You know where you find that water? It's in the rock. Amen. You know why it's so important to stay on the rock? Because when you're about to go under, praise God, you can go to the rock and you can get the strength that you need. When you're about to die of thirst, you can go to the rock, and the rock has what you need. For they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I'm glad whenever we come to Jesus, amen, he has all that we need. Whenever we come to Jesus, we find out he's always more than enough. Amen. We find out that he always satisfies. Amen. I tell you, if you've ever not been satisfied by Jesus, it isn't Jesus. Amen. It isn't Jesus. It's you. Amen. But then in Romans chapter 9, verses 31 to 33, the Apostle Paul tells us about this rock. He said, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith. Now I want to stop right here for a moment. I want you to understand something. We got a lot of people who are following religion and they're not finding what they're wanting. They're not finding what they're needing. But Israel followed after the law of righteousness, but hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They were following the law of God. They were doing the thou shalt nots and the thou shalt, amen, like they should do it. But they were doing it because it was an obligation. They were doing it and they seen it as a burden. They were doing it and they seen it as a trial which they must endure. And Paul says, why didn't they obtain? Why didn't they receive it? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. In other words, they lacked the faith to trust God. Amen. They lacked the faith to trust what God had done. They lacked the faith to trust where God had put them. Amen. God sent them into the desert, and he knew that they couldn't go right into the promised land. He knew that if they went right into the promised land, the first time they seen a war that they had never experienced before, they would faint and run. The first time they had to experience hardship, that they would turn tail and run. You know, that's the way a lot of people, a lot of Christians are. Amen. As soon as they got to experience some kind of a hardship in their life, they turn their back on Christ and run. I wonder sometimes if they really got born again, if they're really trusting. They're not walking by faith. They're walking by sight. Amen. He said they didn't trust it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They seen it as a burden, a stumbling stone, a problem along the way. But in verse 33, he says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. I want to tell you what. That's the rock of my assurance. Amen. Other folks stumble at him because they get wrapped up in religion. Folks stumble at Jesus because they're wrapped up in what denomination? Well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Baptist, and I'm a free will Baptist, a hard shell Baptist, a primitive Baptist, an old time Baptist, a Jesus only Baptist. I'm a Southern Baptist, a missionary Baptist. I'm this Baptist. Now I think there used to be 30 some different kind, 37 I think different varieties of Baptists. Amen. And you know what? Baptists have never sent anybody to heaven. Baptist and any denomination has never saved one soul. But praise God, people stumble at religion because they've never got a hold of the rock. And Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him. That's what Jesus had to deal with when he was here. Who was his biggest problem? It was the religious crowds. Amen. The Jews. They come because they lived under the law, and they stumbled at the truth. They stumbled at the stone, at the rock, which God had set up for a firm foundation. The Greeks came, and the Greeks likewise stumbled. Amen. Paul says the Jews want a sign, and the what is it there? They want a sign, and everybody's looking for something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, down about verse 20, 27, 29 somewhere, it'll tell you what it was. But the religious crowd is always looking for something besides Jesus. Amen? They're always trying to find a better way besides Jesus. But let me tell you something. There is no other way. There is no other way to know. There is no other way to be sure. There is no other way to have confidence in eternal salvation outside of that rock. And his name is Jesus. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Praise God, I can stand before my God. Amen. Because what stands between me and my God is the blood of Jesus. Amen. It isn't I'm a Baptist. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved because I trusted him as my Savior. I'm saved because I believed God's word. I didn't stumble at it. By faith, I believe what the word of God said. And it was an offense. And it was a stumbling stone, a stumbling block to me many years, because I knew I was a dirty old filthy stinking rotten sinner lost and on my way to hell. But I didn't want to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. But God got a hold of me. And God began to do a work in my heart, and pretty soon I seen that he tells me I'm a sinner on my way to hell because he loves me. Pretty soon I realize that he loved me so much that he sent his son. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for me. But I realized that because the son died for me, because I deserve to go to hell, I had to invite Jesus in. Thinking that you're a Christian because you go to church. It's like the illustration, and y'all have heard it. Thinking that because you stand and sit in your garage, you're an automobile. Amen. What are you? I'm a Baptist. What are you? I'm a Methodist. What are you? I'm a Catholic. What are you? I'm a Presbyterian. What are you? I'm a Buddhist. That don't help anybody. That don't save anybody. But God's Word said if we believe it in our heart and we confess it with our mouth, He said, you shall be saved. I'm glad He put me on a rock and got me established on a firm foundation, on a good foundation. Not a Baptist foundation, but a biblical foundation. Amen. I'm glad that He gets me on the rock where I can, I'll tell you what, I can get close to Him to know whatever I want to know. Amen. Just like a child goes to his father and asks, as long as I'm on the rock, I'm near Him. And as long as I'm on the rock, I can experience Him and know Him. I'm glad that when I'm parched and thirsty and when I need refreshing, I can go to that rock. But I'm glad that when I believe and trusted in that rock that God sent my way, I have a hope of eternal salvation. I have a hope that takes away the sting of sin. I have a hope that takes away the shame of sin. I have a hope that took away the penalty of sin. Because that rock wasn't a rock of a stumbling stone. It wasn't a rock no longer of an offense. But Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Amen. His banner over me is love. Amen. Little one sang that. And I'm glad tonight that I know Him as my Savior. I'm glad I have that confidence in Him. As we stand tonight, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around.